Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson. Welcome to the Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind stories of amazing people like yourself who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go on to live their best lives. Today's show is being sponsored to you by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, visit tawatson.com, go under the programs and products page, and click on Million Dollar Business Pathways to get started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today of Resilient Stories? Joining me, I have Miss Jamie Wright. Everybody give her a round of applause. Jamie, how are you?
I am doing well, Dr. Watson. I am doing well. Thank you for asking.
Hey, thank you very much for accepting the invitation to come on and share your story. I know it's a very heartfelt story, and our listeners are going to be able to glean a lot and really end up being very, very touched by your story. But before we go into your story, what's the latest that's kind of taking place with in the world of Jamie Wright today?
Wow, let's see. Oh my goodness, the universe has just opened up so many doors. The latest is I'm writing two books. One is my
memoir. Not one book, but two books. Wow.
Two books. Yeah. Be on the lookout in 2021, my first. And it'll be more like a self-help ebook type, like how to overcome.
Sure.
And it's called Finding Purpose Through Pain.
Wow.
And I a little bit about my journey of domestic violence in the midst of COVID-19. So please be on the lookout. And it'll be written to any audience, right? Anyone that's experiencing just life, you know, life when it's not so happy. So please be on the lookout for that.
All right.
And my memoir book is The Power of Overcoming Shame and Learning to Love Yourself Again. So I'm pouring my whole soul into that
Wow. Well, I appreciate you being vulnerable and transparent and sharing your story. And, you know, the purpose of this podcast is to do those very things. So for you, come on, share your story, share with the audience about how you've overcome. I can't think of another a better person to have on the show to talk about overcoming than you. At this juncture in your life as well. So I'm glad you're here, and we're going to get started with question number one, and that is, what's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally in your life, Jamie?
You know, Dr. Watson, it's just life, right? Life just being what it is. My first obstacle is becoming a mother at 14 years old.
Yeah, wow.
And really not having the tools to understand the impact of that until I found myself 40 years old at a women's shelter as a result of domestic violence.
Wow.
So for a very long time, I've lived my life with a tremendous amount of unhealed trauma.
Yes.
And pain that I'm grateful to say that it's a journey, right? It's never for me, it's I'll speak for myself, is I feel like at the point that we arrive at our healing point, then we'll transition out of here, right? So it's always a journey. It's always something that we're going to have to move forward. And I'm grateful that I understand that now, so that I have the tools to live the life that I live now, which is I love my life. So I would definitely say being a mother at 14 and finding myself at essentially a homeless shelter in Houston, Texas, this past April during the midst of COVID.
Did you guys hear that? That wasn't 20 years ago she was in a shelter. This was just last year she was in a shelter. So kudos to you for bouncing back. And I know it's a journey. Now we're talking less than a year later, she's writing two books about this to help others and to continue to heal herself. So again, can't tell you, can't salute you enough, whatever else. I mean, amazing. So I appreciate you being here as well. You know, Jamie, my mother was a victim of domestic violence a lot with my father. Brought me to a place where I had to actually, I don't love even sharing this part of my story though, but where my father and I got into a physical altercation because I was tired of him fighting my mom in eighth grade. And I watched her go through this for many, many years. And it really troubled me watching her being victimized by this man who I call my father. But I never got a chance to hear in terms of how it felt to her. So could you share with us as a person who's endured that, what are the feelings that one experiences when you go through a situation where you're dealing with domestic violence? What are the emotions that you're dealing with there?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you asked that, Dr. Watson. It's a range of emotion. For me, by the time the physical abuse happened, I'd already been conditioned with the emotional and the verbal and the mental abuse. So yes. By the time the physical abuse started, I felt like it was my fault. I felt like if I didn't say certain things, or if I stopped doing the things that I love to do, like just, you know, hanging out, loving on my friends and things like that, that I wouldn't be a hit. So it was very emotional. And you compound the unhealthy childhood that I had, it was very much the emotional parts was very much normalized. I was just like, this is what happens. This is how a man is supposed to treat me. This is what love looks like when a man says, you know, calls me out of my name, or, you know, say I shouldn't wear this, or I'm stupid because I said that. I mean, that's just, that's love. That's what, so it's very, it's heavy. It's definitely heavy, Dr. Watson. And in addition to my book, I'm now an ambassador and advocate for the domestic violence women's shelter that I was at.
That's awesome.
I was like, wow. And so for the things that I like to share with people is that if you find yourself supporting someone that's experiencing domestic violence, please, you all, do not judge them. Listen from your heart, because at the point that the person that's being the victim is sharing with you, they're already emotionally emotionally struggling, and oftentimes suffering. So listen with your heart and encourage them to reach out to trained domestic violence advocates.
And that's very well said. And I appreciate you saying that. And it makes sense. My mother had my oldest sister at the age of 14 as well. So, you know, like you said, when you come through a troubled childhood, your definition of a love may look quite different from which other people may perceive love to be. And I have no doubt about it that my mother was kind of, she was kind of giving a kind of warped definition of love that, had her experiencing a lot of these things as well. So I appreciate you sharing that as well. What were some of the things that you did to kind of cope with coming out of this situation with domestic violence? You were in a shelter less than a year ago. So what are some of the things you've been, the mechanisms you've been using over the last less than a year to kind of get yourself to where you are today? What have you been doing?
Lots of therapy. I am a big component to therapy, especially in terms of trauma and in the domestic violence arena, but just trauma period. I did not know this for a very long time, Dr. Watson, that there are individuals that focus in on trauma therapy. So it's not like going to Walmart and shopping for a one-stop shop. No, it's like going to, you know, a department store to purchase what it is specifically that you want. So my therapist, Oh my goodness, she is amazing. And she has taught me practical tools to shift my behavioral my thought process. Because when you're trauma, when we're traumatized, it does so much to our brain makeup, right? And so she's taught me things that, like, for example, my thoughts. We call it the three C's, and it's catching them. Checking them and changing them.
So say it one more time.
Catching them, checking them, and changing them.
Oh, that's good.
The three C's, the power of the three C's. And it's the more we practice it, the easier it gets. So for example, Dr. Watson, when I tell myself, like, I can't go on Dr. Watson's podcast, he's not going to want to know what I have to say. I'm damaged goods. I was in a homeless shelter. I was 14 years old. Now I have the capacity to catch that thought.
Yes.
Historically, it would just go round and round and round in my head. Wow. And guess what? I wouldn't have appeared on your podcast. And I wouldn't have appeared on BBC News and all these other places, because I would have allowed my negative thinking to talk me out of it. So now I have the tools to catch that thought. And then I check it. Jamie, where is this thought coming from? Yes. And I don't allow myself to spend too much time on in that space to checking it, but yes, just to be aware, right? Mm-hmm. Is it the childhood trauma? Is it one of the relationships? And then, oh, that's childhood trauma. I was told I was never going to amount to anything. Mm-mm. Then I change it.
Yes.
With positive affirmations. You are loved. You are smart. Someone needs to hear your story. So the power of the three C's. So therapy. And I wouldn't have never, ever, and I can go on for about an hour, Dr. Watson, on sure, just different tools and techniques that I've learned in understanding
yes,
how my childhood has dictated my actions up until I was 40 years old. Now, mind you, I have, like, on the outside, one would think like, oh, I have it together, whatever together looks like, right? I have sure, the Maxes and I drive the BMW, all this stuff. Yeah. But internally, I was dead and yeah, did not recognize it had, for me, everything to do with my childhood.
That is a great point. And that's one of the things I try to get people to see oftentimes, that oftentimes what we're seeing now is a result of all the years of what a person has endured, positive or negative, you know? And it's great that you're able to recognize that all those things from your childhood plays a significant part of in your relationships, what you're doing though. But again, kudos to you for going through, getting the therapy that's needed, getting the coping skills, and not just for yourself. You're doing this, you're healing yourself at the same time, you're healing others as well. You're helping others as well. So you didn't say, hey, I'm going to just do me for the next 20 years, then I'll help other people. You're doing it in conjunction. So I appreciate you doing that. So at what point did things change for you? Did you feel a shifting last year where you said, hey, you know what? I need to move from this to this. Was there a shifting that took place?
It happened just like this.
Wow.
At the point that the therapist started to explain to me the dynamics of power and control, which oftentimes leads to violence. I don't care if it's domestic violence or whatever. And at the point that I told her, well, I'm going home. Back to my ex, which had just knocked my teeth loose because I was not going to stay in a homeless shelter.
Sure.
Especially in the middle of a pandemic. And I explained that to her. She says, okay. She says, well, when you do go back, you need to understand his triggers and you need to create a safety plan. Wow. Meaning that when I go back and if it gets bad again, I need to have a plan set in place that I can leave safely, or if not, I'm running the risk of dying. Sure. And for me, Dr. Watson, I lost my mom when I was 20. And I could not wrap my head around my two daughters having to navigate life without me like I have
yes,
without my mom.
Yes.
So for me, the shifting in the moment was I would rather my girls bury me and have to put in my obituary and say to the world, oh, my mom passed away from complications of COVID, than them burying me because my partner at the time beat me to death. Because yeah, one of the things that I did learn while I was at the shelter too is the difference between a person hitting you with their hands and hitting you with an object. And I'm not just talking about domestic, but I'm talking about people, violence, period.
Sure.
At the point that someone will hit you with an object, it becomes dangerous because they don't know in that moment how much pain they're inflicting. Now, if I hit you with my hand, just by mere, you know, law of gravity, I'm gonna hit you, hurt my hand. I'm at the point that I can stop hitting you because I'm hurting myself too.
Okay.
Right. So if I'm hitting you, but if I'm hitting you with an object,
yeah,
and the fact that he hit me in the face with the laptop. Now, this is a trained therapist that had to walk me through this. I didn't have the tools. So yeah. So for me, it was not living life. My girls having to navigate, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for having the courage and really, really, I mean, just, this has been just so eye-opening for me to hear, because my mother, like I said, it's personal for me because my mother went through it as well. So thank you for sharing that and having the courage to think about your daughters and not go back to that situation as well. So what was the best advice you think you received from your therapist or counselor during this process of less than a year?
walk my truth, walk in my authenticity and walk my truth. My story is my truth and it's okay.
Yes, yes, yes. That is so amazing because who we are is who we are, right?
That's it.
Yeah, who we are is who we are. So how would you say this situation has changed you?
I knew I was resilient, right? Mm-hmm. Only because of the monetary things and my education and things like that, that I've gained. Like I dropped out of school in the seventh grade and just really had a rough, you know, go at it the first part of my life, much like you.
Sure.
So I understood I was resilient because off from that, I mean, I'm highly regarded in my career field and all that stuff. However, I did not know I was as strong as I am.
Wow.
And wow. I say that in the most humblest way. I did not understand that I had the capacity to lay my pride and my ego down and live in that shelter for almost 3 months.
Wow.
To get the healing that I needed.
That's right.
And Dr. Watson, I've come out on the other side. I'm telling you, nothing or no one can stop me from sharing my story such a way that I provoke healing in the world.
That's right. Well, I love that. Right, that right there in itself is a million-dollar nugget to anyone out there listening. Don't let no one stop you from telling your story. I was sharing with Jamie before we went on that many of my family members were not happy with me sharing my story. Maybe the same thing with you all out there. If you have a story that you need healing from, you got to be willing to share it and be aware how that may help others as well. So Jamie, as you look back, would there be anything you would do differently at all over the last year?
Over the last year? No. Not a thing. Oh. I feel like the last year was the vessel that broke me open.
Really? That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
So you said you've been going nonstop since you shared. When did you start? You said you first talked about it.
I first talked about, got to the shelter in April, May. May is when I first shared on BBC News. And I'm telling you, it's just been like up and onward. And I am so grateful that I'm just grateful. Yeah. Like just a year ago, Dr. Watson, you could not tell me that I would be someone that could hopefully they see my courage.
Yes.
If they find their courage, you couldn't tell me that because I'd already went through the emotional abuse. And at that time I was experiencing the physical abuse from my domestic violence and then all that childhood stuff. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't tell me that I was going to be an ambassador for the Houston Area Women's Center.
That's right.
Houston, Texas, as you know, is like the third largest city in the United States.
That's right.
And I am the ambassador for the best domestic violence shelter in this area, in my home.
You know what? And they couldn't have found a better ambassador. So kudos to you for being that voice for those women and men out there and families who are experiencing this level of trauma and need a voice to help. Not just a voice, but a voice of reason and a voice of teaching them how to change the situation as well. So you're an example of a person who came out on the other side and how one can do that though. So with the last question here, for those folks out there, we may have some who are in the process or either experiencing domestic violence. They could be experiencing issues from their childhood, you know, having, you know, kids early, being raped, molested or what have you though. Any challenges, it could be even financial from coming off the year we just had. It could be losing a job. What advice would you give them right now in terms of what they should be doing to overcome this obstacle to come out on the other side and make 2021 a year of victory for them?
Two things. The first would be, this is what I know to be certain. We can be victimized, but we can choose not to be the victim.
Yes.
Yes. And what I mean by that, someone, you know, people can inflict pain and suffering on us. However, how we choose to push through that is our choice, especially with pain that was inflicted on us during our childhood and we had no autonomy or control. as adults, we do, right? And so it's like, if we're living this thing called life, we don't have to suffer.
That's right.
We can choose to live the life that we choose to live. Now, do we have to put in work? Absolutely. But guess what? It takes work to be sad and depressed and hopeless. So if we have to put in energy, how about put in energy towards shifting the mindset and choosing to look at the adversity and the obstacles as ways to grow us. And I highly recommend therapy.
Yes.
I want to interrupt the stigma around therapy. If someone's experiencing heart disease, Dr. Watson, or high blood pressure, for example, we encourage them to take the medicine and go to a cardiologist and things like that. Why not, if someone's hopeless or experienced job loss or just life is heavy, why can't we encourage them to seek out a professional that can help them with their mental state of being and give them kudos for that?
Yes. I think that is great advice. Folks out there, if you're not inspired by what you're hearing, Jamie Wright has come out of within a year. I don't know how else you can be inspired. I mean, it's a great story. You've seen a person who was last April was living in a, you're listening to a person who last April was listening was living in a shelter in April and is now writing two books about her experience, leading the domestic violence cause of one of our, the ambassador, one of our largest cities in the nation, and just doing some great things. And the future is very, very, very bright for you as well. So Jamie, kudos to you. Jamie, if people want to reach you, how can they get in touch with you out there?
Absolutely. So I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Jamie R. Wright Speaker. I'm on LinkedIn as Jamie R. Wright Speaker, same on Twitter. And I also have a website, which if you are experiencing domestic violence, I have resources that's on my website, man or woman. Yeah. I developed 5 essential steps to healing. You can download it for absolutely free. And all that is, Dr. Watts, is that I took some of the tools that I learned along the way and I put them on a printable PDF file for you. And that my website is jamierwright.com.
That is awesome. And not only does she has books, she has a website after 1 year. So that is amazing. Folks, if you are experiencing any type of challenges out there, you're looking for a speaker, you're looking for a guide, an advocate for yourself, reach out to Jamie. She can be a great resource to you. And she's going to be doing some great things. We're just getting things started with Jamie here today. So Jamie, we talked about some of the hard stuff. Are you ready to have some fun?
Heck yeah, let's do it, Dr. Watson.
All right, okay.
Let me set up straight.
Okay, there you go. Get you some water. Here's our fun part of our podcast. We this is called a rapid fire episode of our podcast, section in our podcast, where I'm just going to share some questions with you and you give us your best answer. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Jamie, how have you turned a dream into reality?
Doing it. Like, I live in a beautiful loft in near downtown Houston. I have a beautiful view. And guess what? That's what I dreamed of. And I just made it happen. I looked for a community that offered what I wanted. And now I live here.
Less than a year ago, she was in a shelter. That's amazing. Yes. What gives your life meaning?
My daughters, my grandmother, and people that I know that are out there that deserve healing.
That's right. Okay. If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
I'd be living in Costa Rica and at least 6 months out of the year.
Hey, that's a good one. One of our folks coming on, she's doing that now as well. Yeah. What verb best describes you?
Motivated.
Motivated. Yeah. Okay. That's good. I like that.
I dropped out of school in the 7th grade.
Hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. We've had so many folks on this show to say, I even gave the wrong answer. We come up with adjectives. It was one teacher who made the difference. She was like, adjective or verb? Which one do you want? You know, so good answer. Good answer.
Thank you, sir.
What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Healing sad people, unhealed people. I want to solve that.
Okay. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play with Barbie dolls.
Okay. What do you wish you had more time to do?
I wish I had more time to, wow, that's kind of hard because I'm doing it. I wish I had more time to relax. I know that my mission is to help healing, to spark healing, and it's, yeah, more time to relax.
Okay, I love it. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you would be doing right now?
I thought you said it was going to be fun. Oh, wow.
Take your time.
My 15-year-old self would say that I would wish that I had the life that the Disney movie showed, the handsome husband and the perfect children with the perfect house and the picket white fence.
Yes, yes. You know what your 15-year-old self is very, very proud of who Jamie Wright has become today, though. Very, very proud of you. Who inspires you the most?
My grandmother.
Your mother?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother. Okay. Your grandmother.
My grandmother and Oprah.
And Oprah. Okay. So if Oprah's listening out there, you better bring Oprah. Jamie on.
Yes. You're my girl. She's my first person that I understood that if she was 14 and could do it.
That's right.
I could do it too.
That's right. Great model. Great role model. Jamie, what is something about yourself that we might be surprised to learn about you?
Something, wow, I'm so open with my life. Something surprised. I've been to Afghanistan twice.
Really?
Well, yes.
Okay.
So that, yeah. I love to dance too. I love like the moonwalk.
And we're going to bring her back on the show and have her do the moonwalk. Are you pretty good at moonwalker?
I think so, but of course I'm biased.
Okay. That's pretty good. The moonwalk is tough though. So that I give you some kudos for that one. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
My bucket list to do, to go to, what is on my bucket list to do, Dr. Watson? I'm about to do it. I'm going to DC and I'm going to go to the National African American Museum.
Okay. You're going to love it.
I thought I was going to the inauguration and not politics, is be a part of history.
Yes.
But nonetheless, I'm going to go anyway. So my bucket list, I have to think, I've been so busy.
Yes.
So thank you for provoking this. I'm going to have to.
Sit, yeah. You have to relax a little bit and write some of this stuff down. Yes. Yes. What's something you'll spend time doing no matter what?
Relaxing. Thank you. And taking time for myself. So thank you for the reminder.
That's good. What would you like your grandchildren to say about you?
She never gave up.
That's right. Yeah. And very, very proud of you. If you were a superhero, Jamie, what would your power be?
My power would be to make everyone in the world happy.
Okay. Great power. If I were to walk in your home right now, what clues would reveal to me about what it is that you love?
What clues? Oh, the pictures on my wall and my, I have little trinkets, everything like, you know, joy and like life.
Yes.
But like just inspirational quotes are everywhere.
I love it. What would you go back to school for?
Definitely like a psychology type degree.
Okay.
To understand the mind.
Okay. What do you love to learn about?
I love to learn about people and the way that they think and why they do what they do.
Oh, that's pretty intriguing. Yeah. What sparks your creativity?
Music.
Okay. What kind of music?
All kinds, but specifically good old 90s R&B.
Okay. I know I like you, Jamie. There we go. We got it together. It's my workout music. Yeah. If you became president today, what would your first law be?
My first law, would be equality.
Okay.
That's subjective. Wow. My first law. Does it have to, can it be subjective like that? Kind of like
wishing. President, whatever you want to be.
Kindness.
Okay.
If you're not kind, you're going to get a ticket.
I like that. We'd be giving out a lot of tickets out there too. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Oprah. And to follow her around of the day to see how she does what she does would be an absolute honor. Oprah Winfrey.
Awesome. What do you love to do for others?
I love to make others smile.
Okay, good. What's the best gift someone's ever given you?
The best gift is my spiritual mom and mentor. She's given me a deeper understanding of the spirituality that I practice.
Yeah, it's good. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
The best compliment is oftentimes people call me smiley.
Okay, good. That's good. That is a good compliment, right? What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
One thing I've never been afraid to do is try.
Okay, good. You know, the funny thing, my previous podcast guest said the same exact thing.
Really?
Yes, the same exact answer, yes. What are you most proud of from your childhood?
I'm most proud of the relationship that I have with my oldest and only sister.
Okay, good. What does success look like for you?
Success looks like, for me, sharing myself in such a way that people understand that if I can do it, whatever the it is,
yes,
that they absolutely can do it too.
Oh, I love it. I love it. If I spoke to the people who know you best, what would they say your purpose is in life?
Well, they would definitely say my purpose is to be an encourager.
Okay. What are you most grateful for?
I'm most grateful for my family and my friends.
Yes, yes. What has been the biggest lesson you have learned in life, Jamie?
The biggest lesson I have learned in life is stay true to yourself, even if you're doubted and shunned upon by other people.
Yes, yes, that's good. And then Jamie, lastly, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered as a person that never gave up.
Yes.
That inspired others and pushed for healing and love.
Awesome. Folks, Jamie, you made it. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job. Awesome job. Everyone give Jamie a round of applause. Jamie, right out there, folks. If you guys are looking for your speaker, coach, whatever it is she does, you got to bring her in, man. You got to support her. An author, get her books. That's coming out soon. Jamie, if folks want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that again?
Definitely on Facebook or Instagram, and that's at Jamie R. Wright Speaker. Instagram, Facebook, or my website, www.jamierwright.com.
Make sure you reach out to her. Say, Jamie, closing thoughts are, this podcast is focused on resiliency and purpose. What are the closing thoughts you can share with the listeners out there around those two things?
My closing thoughts on resiliency and purpose is, all of us have a purpose.
Yes.
None of us came to earth just because. Mm-hmm. And this is what I know to be certain. Things will happen that makes us question, forget, or doubt our purpose.
Yes.
But guess what? If you put resiliency at the forefront of that,
yes,
and you just go for it and understand that, listen, this is one life we have to live. This is not a dress rehearsal.
Yes.
You just move into it. This is what I know to be certain. The life on the other side of it is going to open up and it's going to be beautiful.
Woo! Beautiful. Well, I'm inspired by that, Jamie. Thank you. That's good advice, folks. Good advice out there. So if you're someone out there and you're an overcomer, you have an amazing story, we want to hear from you. If you know of other people who have amazing stories, send them to www.tawatson.com and share with us your story. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode. Give us a review. Share it with all your folks on social media. And we're always looking for sponsors. So if you're a sponsor out there, we'd love to have you on. Again, folks, I can't thank Jamie Wright enough for being transparent and being courageous and sharing her resilient stories. Folks, we want to thank you all out there for tuning in. Deuces and peace.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.